This is Harry Murray at Murray's Flash Shop in Edinburgh, Virginia. This is the report we do on the questions you've been writing me and calling and asking about. Let's just look. Okay, when you're floating the river, have a lunch in the back of your vest, climbing a mountain stream and all that, and you're stopping and eating lunch, you bet your life your hands are dirty. You can rinse them off in the stream, but that's no assurance you're going to get rid of a lot of stuff you don't want in your mouth. I carry a small bottle of hand sanitizer, and we keep this in our boat when we're floating, and I keep it in my vest when I'm in the mountains, and I just rinse my hands off on this, and I feel very comfortable that that does the job. Okay, next thing on my list is Falstaff. I have been using for many years the waiting staff that sold under the name of Falstaff, and I like the heavy duty. I think it's 3/4 of an inch or something like that. Everybody talks about using a Falstaff when they're wading deep water. Well, if you look at the reality, if you're wading, we'll say, in a western trout stream or in a smallmouth river, and you're wading in water waist deep, and you fall in, you're going to get wet. That's for sure. You're not going to drown, not that heavy of water anywhere we're fishing. However, you get in a small mountain freestone stream where the water is a foot deep, you fall down in those streams, you break bones. So I use a Falstaff stick when I'm in the mountains, when I'm in the small streams, everywhere I go. I'm loading up right now to go out west, and I'm probably going to take 2 Falstaff wading sticks just to be on the safe side. I am a great believer in them. I know one of them I use, especially on my smallmouth bass fishing, just stays in the back of my car. I know that thing's 20 years old. As far as I'm concerned, it's as good as the day I got it. Oh, yeah. You all have been on me for the last couple years on my fly tying classes that I do in the fly shop here in Edinburgh during the winter. I think we're doing about 4 or 5 this year. We're doing a basic beginner fly tying class. Then I've gone into some of my custom flies, and I reckon you might call that an advanced class. We've got 1 advanced class. We're tying 4 of my customized trout flies, and then we're doing another one, separate class, that we're tying 4 of the customized bass flies. Okay, the next thing on my list is Hexagenia. You better believe it. As of right now, this time of the year, the Hexagenia is on. Very heavy some evenings. Now, if you go one evening and don't hit them, don't get turned off. Go back the next evening, because I have seen a heavy hatch of Hexagenia. Oh, what am I talking about here? The last hour of daylight, let's say. I've seen a heavy hatch one evening, go back the next evening, and they're not there to speak of. Some of them are feeding on the emergers. Some of these bass are feeding on the adults on the top that have just emerged. Some of them are feeding on the spinners that are coming back. If you're seeing splashy rise forms, those guys are taking the emergers. This year, for some reason, I've seen more fish working on the emergers than I have actually sipping them in on top. I cheat when I see that kind of thing. I put a Mr. Rapidan Skater, size 8, on my 9-foot 2X leader. Then I come off the bend of that hook with about 3 feet of 2X tippet material, attach the Mr. Rapidan soft tackle, let's see, the Olive soft tackle in about a size 8, run that off as a dropper, and I dress the whole leader carefully up above the dry fly, cast the dry fly well, and then I fish that to cover the water and also to any fish I see rising or swirling or that type thing. About half the fish I'm taking this year on the Hexagenia hatch, which has been the heaviest I've seen in a long time, right here beside Edinburgh on the North Fork. It's fantastic. But I take about half on the emerger and half on the dry. Left-hand casting, yes. I had a real good friend that he was a right-hand caster, had to do some minor surgery, but they didn't want him casting. And I said, well, George, you know the principles. You know what's involved. I said, switch over and cast with your left hand. Came in a couple weeks later. He said it was amazing how much easier it was to switch over and cast with my left hand than I thought it would be. Because you know what's going on. Just switch over. And when I teach casting in here during the winter, we have probably half a dozen different casting classes. In fact, we got one this weekend. I can easily teach. I'm right-handed, but I can easily teach casting with my left hand because I know what has to be done. So if I say half the people in my class are left-handed, there's no problem teaching them that. So don't overlook the casting with your left hand if you're screwed up on your right hand. Okay, fly designs. In the fact that we're getting into more involved fly tying classes every winter, and we're getting people from different parts of the country, I'm working on motivating them to use fly designs that they come up with them on their own. You know the materials are out there. You know your capabilities in tying. You know what the trout or bass, at least you think you know what they might want. You've tried a certain fly and it isn't working, and you see bass, for instance, this time of the year chasing minnows up in the shallow. Well, they're either after hogsuckers or shiner. There's not much else they're going to chase up there. So go to your fly tying vise, or pick the materials and experiment back and forth. Now, don't just settle for the first thing you come up with. Be willing to tie several different flies and then test them on the fish. But that's how I've come up. I've designed over 50 flies, and that's pretty much how I've come up with all of these. All right. Oh, well, let me tell you about this damn thing that I'm seeing all over the mountain streams. Please don't put dams on freestone mountain streams. You're locking the trout into the free movement that they want. Sure, these wild brook trout can jump like crazy to hopefully get over. But I've seen people build dams thinking they're helping the trout, I suppose. But they lock them into an area that there's no place to spawn. I saw some trout several years ago in a pool that was all ledge bottom, no place to spawn. They were actually trying to spawn on these ledges. So I pulled the rocks out of the bottom of this pool somebody put there, was over there a couple weeks later, and here they were spawning and doing their thing. That's pretty much what I wanted to cover today. So if you have any questions on any of this, just ring me at the fly shop here at Edinburgh at 540-984-4212. It's Harry Murray. Thank you very much.